Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wealth Dragon Way, The Why, The When, and The How to Become Infinitely Wealthy, Revised Edition, by John Lee and Vincent Wong, narrated by Marguerite Gavin. Preface. Since we wrote the first edition of this book in 2015, we have come a long, long way, as individuals and as a company. We have both written books as sole authors. Vincent's book, Property Entrepreneur, was published in August 2016, and John's book, Business Hack, is scheduled for publication in October 2018. At the time of writing, we are prepared to take our company, Wealth Dragons PLC, public through an IPO. We have launched a whole new platform called Wealth Dragons Online, which is set to become one of the largest e-learning platforms for entrepreneurs in the world. We were all extremely happy to celebrate the marriage of John and Jen, and especially delighted to welcome their first child, their daughter Kira, into the world in June 2018. We are very grateful to Wiley for the invitation to update this book and offer to publish the revised edition. We feel the overall message is timeless, but there are always new nuggets to add. So whether you are listening to this book for the first time or dipping into this new edition because you were a fan of the original, we hope you find much to inspire and motivate you to become a wealth dragon. Preface to the first edition. We're going to discuss why to become wealthy extensively in this book, so we'd like to start by asking you this question. Why did you pick up this book? We're guessing it's because you'd like to have more money in your life. We can definitely show you how to achieve this, but why do you want more money in your life? We're assuming it's so you don't have to worry about whether you'll always be able to afford to pay the bills. Why do you want to be free of money worries? Presumably so that you're able to spend more time and energy on the things and people you value. So when do you want to start living like this? That's a question only you can answer. We started Wealth Dragons in 2009, hoping we could educate people about wealth creation and help them realize their full potential. Our specific expertise lies in different areas of the property business, but over the years we have explored other avenues of passive income generation and asset building as we have continued along the path of our own education. We pass on anything and everything new that we learn that we believe will enrich the lives of others in our seminars and educational programs. We, like you, are constantly learning and growing. Since we started the company, we have given countless seminars and have taught wealth creation programs that are constantly evolving all over the world. One of our key ambitions has always been to reach as wide an audience as possible, and this is what inspired us to write a book. Our aim in this book is to give you an overview of our philosophies about wealth creation, share with you our own personal stories, and inspire you to further your own wealth education. Over the years, we've received a great deal of positive feedback from our clients, students, and business associates. We hope this book will also remind them of why they chose us and why they stuck with us. While we've written the book together, with a joint voice for the most part, we obviously have our individual stories and thoughts to share. This will be clearly indicated in the text. If this is your first introduction to Wealth Dragons, we hope it inspires you and gives you plenty to think about. Of course, it goes without saying that we would love to hear from you, and we invite you to come and meet us at a seminar sometime in the future. You'll find all the relevant contact details at the back of the book. We can't wait to meet you when you're ready to become a wealth dragon. Acknowledgements. We are indebted to so many people who have helped make and shape this book. First, we are very grateful to the John Wiley and Sons team, including Kimberly Monroe Hill, Jeremy Chia, Gladys Ganadin, and especially Nick Walwork and Nazneen Halim, who championed the book from the start. For the production of this revised edition, we additionally thank Alicia Benjamin and Benarika Venkatesan. To our families and friends, we extend our deepest gratitude for all their ongoing love and support. We wouldn't be where we are today without the hard work and support of our entire Wealth Dragons team, including our administration and sales teams, and our speakers, who all help make our business so successful and the daily grind so enjoyable. They are all a part of this journey, as are the ones who really start the process of changing people's lives. We would also like to thank Miranda Leslau for all her expertise. But the people to whom we owe the greatest debt are those who have inspired so much of the material in this book, our students. They help us learn while we teach. This book is a testament to them. Many of them started out believing they didn't have choices in life. To anyone who has been told they can't achieve something, we have written this book to tell you that you can. About the authors. John Lee is the CEO and co-founder of Wealth Dragons Group, PLC. John started investing in property in his early 20s. By the time he was 27, John had achieved his goal of becoming a self-made millionaire. His experiences inspired him to share his knowledge with others, and he was soon teaching seminars in property investment throughout the United Kingdom. He subsequently gained an international reputation as a motivational speaker and has shared stages with former U.S. President Bill Clinton, Alan Sugar, Richard Branson, Jack Welch, ex-CEO of GE, and Randy Zuckerberg. John also trains people to become world-class public speakers. He has helped several of his students build highly successful businesses and achieve international acclaim. John's success came despite a humble start in life. He was born to Chinese parents who ran a takeaway restaurant in the north of England. All of John's achievements came as the result of endless hard work and unwavering tenacity. John is dedicated to showing others how they have the opportunity to do the same, and is continually inspired by watching his students achieve the kind of success they thought they could only ever dream of. John Lee is also the author of Business Hack, published in 2018. Vincent Wong is the COO and co-founder of Wealth Dragons Group, PLC. Vince is one of the most dynamic and well-respected property entrepreneurs in the United Kingdom and internationally. As well as building his own multi-million pound property portfolio, Vince has helped countless people source and structure property deals through his property companies. At the height of the financial crisis, Vince pioneered groundbreaking financial strategies and was successful in getting lease options legalized for residential property sales in the United Kingdom, Malaysia, and the Netherlands, and is currently working with regulators on campaigns in Poland and Singapore. Vince personally mentors a number of property investors and business owners. He is an internationally recognized public speaker and expert in the property industry, and he is regularly invited to speak to audiences of more than 1,000 at the prestigious Property Outlook Conference in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, the biggest property conference in Asia. Vince is a graduate of the University of London's School of Pharmacy and holds an MBA from Cass Business School. Vincent Wong is also the author of Property Entrepreneur, published in 2016. Introduction. The story of the Wealth Dragons. In three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on. Robert Frost. John. My rather ordinary, humble start in life took place in a small Lancashire town in the north of England, not far from the Yorkshire Dales. I was born in Burnley General Hospital in 1981 and grew up in Colne, a fairly remote and typically northern English town, where my parents owned and ran the local Chinese takeaway. They were both originally from Hong Kong and moved to the UK in the 1970s. They married shortly after meeting and started what was to become a family business. Many Chinese people born in Hong Kong moved to the UK in those days, taking advantage of the time during which Hong Kong was a British territory, which gave them the right to British nationality. The influx was responsible for a surge in Chinese takeaways. The British seemed to love the new, exotic, tasty, and relatively cheap fast food, and many families built up successful small businesses as a result. My parents and their extended family members worked long hours to keep the business up and running and make a profit. It was a hard life, and I hardly saw them while I was growing up. Köln has grown since the time I lived there, but during my childhood there were only a handful of shops and one primary school, where I was teased mercilessly for being the only Chinese boy in the school. I remember my nickname was Bruce Lee. This might have been a compliment within a big group of Chinese kids who worshipped the martial arts hero, but the way in which the local English kids used it when they directed it at me was definitely derogatory. They would do karate moves in front of me and laugh. I once got fly-kicked in the back so hard it knocked me off my feet. When I took off my jacket, I found there was the imprint of a shoe on it. I don't remember having any real friends at school, and I don't think I went to more than two or three birthday parties throughout my entire school years. Even when I became a teenager and the kids in my area started going out to parties and local clubs, I missed out because my parents wouldn't allow me to go. Any time I wasn't at school, I was expected to work in the takeaway. I started working in the takeaway, doing odd jobs, cleaning and carrying things around, at around the age of 7 or 8. I got a little pocket money for the mundane jobs I did. Everyone worked in the family business, and I knew it was expected that my brother and I would take it over some day. But I had other plans. I had watched my parents work night and day in a business that gave them a modest living and prevented them from spending quality time with their children. They worked 7 days a week, so my brother and I were mostly raised by our aunts and uncles. I always knew I wanted a different life. Not only did I want to give my future children more options, including the option to spend time with their father, but I also wanted to help my parents get more time to enjoy life without working every waking minute. I wanted to free them from the chains that bound them to their arduous existence. By the time I started college, I was working 3 different jobs. I was making money in every way I could, in every spare minute I could find. Along with working in the takeaway most evenings, I got a weekend job in a shoe shop. I also signed up for part-time telesales work, which was brutal. It involved cold-calling people listed in the yellow pages to sell them websites. I got rejection after rejection. It was soul-destroying. But in hindsight, it was invaluable experience, as it instilled a high tolerance for rejection in me, which served me well later in life. My inspiration was my determination to break free from the future that had been laid out for me, a future identical to the life my parents led. I respected them, but I didn't want to live like them. I wanted to reach for more. I believed I could achieve more. Those were some tough years. I had absolutely no life and no friends. At times I resented it, but I knew I had to keep going. I became obsessed with working, believing I could work my way to success. But I was frustrated by how much time it took to make a modest amount of money. Was I even doing anything different from my parents in giving up all my time to make money? That feeling probably planted the first seed of my determination to find a way to buy back my time, to make significant money without it taking up all of my time. That growing feeling, the deep desire for the freedom to do what I wanted with my time while still earning an income, helped motivate me in the years to come. I did well enough at school to get into university. I got a place at the University of Hull to study computer animation. With what my parents had set aside for my higher education, and with the money I'd saved from all my jobs, I was able to study full-time without having to work to supplement my allowance. Being away from home and out of the grind of working in the takeaway for the first time in my life, I also had my first taste of a real social life. It was great. I made some good friends and found a little self-confidence. But money was still tight, and I couldn't wait to graduate and move down south, where I believed I could command a better salary than my peers. My first job was close to London, in Guildford. My starting salary was £21,000, while most of my friends were in jobs that paid them around £15,000. I definitely felt their jealousy. However, I soon discovered that their jealousy was largely unfounded, because the reality of earning £21,000 was not as rosy as I thought it would be. By the time I'd paid my rent and all my living costs in the expensive London commuter belt, I had less money than I did while I was doing menial work in Yorkshire. I lasted about a year in that first job, and then jumped around doing some freelance contracts for a while, before landing my next big job at an animation company called Criterion. I started on a salary of £26,000, and was convinced that this increase was going to change my life. But with more money coming in, I was soon spending more on going out and enjoying myself, and it wasn't long before I found I had even less money left at the end of the month than before. My next job was my dream job. My best friend at university had been Darren Rodriguez. We had both been obsessed with working as hard as we could. We used to get up at 5 a.m. to wait outside the main building until the caretaker let us in. We were the first to get in and always the last to leave. We regularly told anyone who would listen that it was our ambition to get jobs at Framestore, the computer animation company that was fast on its way to working on Oscar-winning films such as the Harry Potter films and Avatar. Our fellow students thought we were being overly ambitious. Jobs at Framestore were highly coveted, and competition was fierce, so no one believed we would get in there. Their negativity made us even more determined. We never gave up, and only a few years after we graduated, Darren landed his job there. I secured my position soon after leaving Criterion. But as is so often the case when you realize your dream, after an initial honeymoon period, we became bored and frustrated. We started to hate our purported dream jobs, just like we'd ended up dissatisfied with all our other jobs. We were frustrated with the hours, the politics, and again, that feeling that we never had enough money, despite the fact that we were both earning considerably more than most of our friends. I started at Framestore on the salary of a whopping £36,000. This time I was sure I was fast on my way to living the high life. But, just as before, I soon discovered my paycheck got eaten up pretty quickly. My traveling costs went up as I was now commuting from Guildford, where I still lived, into central London. Plus, I spent a proportionally higher amount on other expenses. I got a new car with a short-term loan, a laptop, some nice clothes, and suddenly I was back to square one, struggling, relatively speaking, to make ends meet. I couldn't believe I was burning through all my money. I worked out my monthly budget and discovered that, after deducting bills, I had £27 in disposable income that I could spend each day. One lunch in a nice restaurant in the city, or a round of drinks for a few friends, who perceived me as being much wealthier than them, would wipe that out in an hour. Darren was equally frustrated. We used to meet in the canteen every lunchtime and during all our coffee breaks to plot our escape from the rat race. We were strategizing together in order to figure out how we could literally buy back our time. We were two guys in our mid-twenties who were already heavily disillusioned with life. Something was wrong with that picture. One day, close to my birthday, Darren presented me with an early birthday present. It was a book. I will never forget the look of excitement on his face. He told me that this was it. This was how we were going to break free. He knew I was dyslexic, that it was a real struggle for me to read anything, but he begged me to read the book cover to cover, and as soon as I could. The book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by Robert Kiyosaki. I opened the book on the tube on the way home and didn't put it down for 2 days. I was gripped. It was my first introduction to the concept of passive income, and I became obsessed with it. Darren and I could not stop talking about how we were going to achieve our new goals of creating a passive income source that would allow us to keep building our wealth indefinitely. I could hardly believe that so much financial security and freedom was available to me, and I became 100% focused on working out how I could make it happen. During the months that followed, all Darren and I did was research the topic. We attended countless seminars and trawled the internet looking for new strategies for building passive income. Of course, the one that consistently stood out was earning a rental income from a property portfolio, so we concentrated our efforts on learning everything we could about property investment. Suddenly, my 3-hour round-trip commute became valuable learning time for me. I added a costly, at the time, 3G plan to my mobile phone package so that I could use a dongle on my laptop, smartphones still being fairly cost-prohibitive for the average person in those days, and carry on researching online during my commute. I would even walk through the West End to work rather than taking the tube, carrying my laptop and reading as I walked so that I could stay online. And then the day came when I had a big choice presented to me. It was a crossroads of a sort, and would determine the direction of the next period of my life. I had been listening to every motivational tape I could get my hands on. I was listening to Anthony Robbins on repeat, and I'd just discovered Dolph DeRoos, the New Zealand property millionaire and best-selling author. I had been listening to an audiobook by DeRoos on the day I received a call from a rival animation company that was trying to poach me away from Framestore. They were prepared to offer me a starting salary of £60,000. That same day I heard Dolph DeRoos describe a moment in his life when he came to a crossroads. He was offered a job paying $30,000 on the same day that he made a $30,000 profit on a property. He asked himself why he should invest a year's worth of his time to earn $30,000 when he'd just made $30,000 in one day. He turned the job offer down and became a full-time property investor. His experience and decision inspired me. I called the other animation company, turned down the £60,000 job offer, and my fate was sealed. I now knew what I had committed myself to focusing on. I will never forget that day, that moment, when I was listening to the Dolph DeRoos audiobook and made that life-changing decision. I'd been listening to it in a cafe during a lunch break, and on the way back to the office I ran into Darren. I told him that I'd come to a major decision, that I'd decided I was going to quit my job. He didn't believe me, so to prove it, as soon as I was back at my desk, I wrote an email and sent it to the whole office. I said it was my last day at Framestore, and anyone who felt like going for drinks after work should join me at the local pub so we could say our goodbyes. My boss was at my desk in minutes asking if it was a joke. I told him I was serious. Because of the confidential nature of the projects we were working on at the time, Framestore had to give me a month's garden leave, which means you'll remain on the company payroll through your official notice period, but are barred from coming into the office or working for another employer. You effectively have to sit at home. Sending that email did feel a little mad, but I knew it would force me into action, that there would be no going back, that I would have to go through with my plan. It was amazing how much freedom I felt immediately. It was like a weight lifting off me. I knew I'd done the right thing, and I never looked back. I remember waking up the day after I quit with a feeling of total euphoria. Suddenly I had what I wanted. I had my time back. The whole day stretched out in front of me. I could spend all that night continuing my research. I also knew that if I played my cards right, the rest of my life could be like this, being able to choose how I spent my time each day. No one owned my time anymore. It felt fantastic. I dedicated every waking moment to going to seminars and doing research on passive income generation. Of course, I kept the fact that I'd quit my job quiet from my friends and family for a while. I knew I had to get started in property investment as soon as possible. I had a short window in which I still had a salary that I could use to secure a mortgage. In 2005, it was definitely easier to get a mortgage than it is today, but I still needed to prove my earnings. I had to get a mortgage while I was still on garden leave from Framestore. I started researching mortgage brokers, and that's how I came across Ying Tan. Ying lived near me in Guildford, so I went to see him, to speak to him about getting into the property business. He offered to mentor me. When I asked him how much he charged, he said, £10,000. I nearly fell off my chair. I asked him how he could justify that price. He told me that what I would learn in 2 days would set me up for life, that he would show me a revolutionary way of buying property that could completely change my life. I instinctively felt I had to do it, but how was I going to get that much money? The only thing I had that was worth that much was my car. I had a Honda S2000 that I knew I could get around £10,000 for. The question was, should I use that £10,000 as a deposit for one property or pay Ying Tan to mentor me? I was young. I guess I was ready to live dangerously. The few friends I mentioned my plan to thought I was crazy. They were convinced it was some scam and that I was about to be ripped off. But I kept talking to Ying, and he kept reassuring me. In the end, he offered me a deal. He said I could pay him half of the money up front, and the other half when my first property deal went through. I was still petrified, and I nearly pulled out several times. It seemed like such a huge sum of money. However, at one point I divided it by 365 days and realized it was around £27 a day, the exact sum I used to have as disposable income when I was working at Frame Store. That made it more manageable to think about. It made it relatively acceptable, as if all I was doing was making the decision to go without a year's worth of expensive lunches. Doing that calculation somehow helped me to make my final decision to move forward. I had never been so scared in my life. Handing over all that money was still incredibly painful, but the pain of the thought of having my newfound freedom taken away was greater. I never wanted to go back to being an employee. I wanted to be in control of how I spent my time for the rest of my life. I'd tasted that freedom and wasn't prepared to give it up again. Ying was as good as his word. Through a loophole in property financing at the time, he'd figured out that if you bought a property at a significant discount and then immediately refinanced it, you could make an immediate cash sum. The bank subsequently closed this particular loophole, specifying that you have to own a property for 6 months before refinancing. But for a while, there was a decent profit to be made by doing the types of deals Ying had taken advantage of. My first property deal made me £9,000. Ying helped me find a property that was valued at £250,000. I managed to negotiate a discount with the owner-developer and agreed to buy it for £200,000, while I financed through a bridging loan. As soon as the property was mine, I refinanced it, taking out a mortgage of £212,500, 85%. This was a relatively quick and simple process. Before the global financial crisis hit, lenders were falling over themselves to offer mortgages to anyone, regardless of their means to pay it back. I paid off the £200,000 bridging loan and had £12,500 left over. After paying off my costs and a small amount of interest on the short-term bridging loan, I had around £9,000 left. I appreciated everything Ying taught me. He was an expert at finding loopholes to make money from, and I carried on using him to broker mortgages on my future properties. But I needed more. I wanted to explore every source of experience and information out there. I needed other skills if I was going to be as successful as I aimed to be. I needed expert marketing and negotiating skills. I wanted to soak up as much education as I could find. I discovered a property networking group that was offering a course costing £3,500. Even though my investment with Ying had paid off, I was anxious about risking a big chunk of money again, so I went to talk to my Uncle Qi. Like my parents and so many other Chinese people of his generation, my Uncle Qi had built up a successful takeaway business. I often hung out with him after he'd finished for the evening, having late-night conversations that went on into the early hours of the morning. He also worked long, hard hours, and I felt sure he'd enjoy the kind of financial freedom I was striving for. So I told him about the networking group and asked if he'd lend me £3,500 as an investment, telling him that he would also benefit from the skills and contacts I picked up. He was extremely skeptical. He was convinced it was a scam, and he tried to talk me out of it. He said all the usual negative stuff about when something seems too good to be true, it usually is, and how property was not the safe investment people thought it was. Eventually, I persuaded him to sponsor me to go on a one-day course that this group held that cost £350. He was more comfortable with this amount. It was an interesting psychological experiment for me. Of course, I could afford the £350 myself, but by having my uncle sponsor me, I made myself accountable to him too, and that somehow inspired me to work even harder to make the money back.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?